welcome to San Diego Mission Academy, operated by Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc. This is Tuesday, October 13th, 2020 at 2:30 p.m. On March 17th, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to bmendoza@smissionacademy.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. We'll do a roll call. Cheryl Stanford, present. Claudette Beck?
Present.
Mike Malloy?
Present.
John George?
Present.
And Barbara Willebrand? Present. So we have a quorum. So now we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. Mike, would you do that? And everyone else, please mute.
Sure thing. Please stand. If you've got a flag in the room, face it. Put your hand over your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Very nice. So now we'll go into staff introductions. So we're starting with Jeff Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
All right, and Jerry?
Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer. Thank you.
And school staff?
Christine Gazes, Area Superintendent.
Jenna Unit.
Kevin Ogden.
Sorry. Kevin Ogden, I'm the liaison to the Charter Authorizer.
All right, school legal counsel.
Yes, Bill Thompson, attorney for the board.
Greg Bordeaux.
Advisors for reporting, supporting agenda items are presenting.
Ito Shariki, I'm the CFO with LMAC.
Hi, I'm Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
Hi, ladies. All right, any other staff who wish to introduce themselves?
Yes, this is Jeff Martin, Vice President, Charter Relations.
All right, thank you. So just a reminder to everyone to please mute your phone unless you're speaking or asking a question. And when addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. And please do not place your phone on hold. If you need to leave the call, please hang up, okay? All right, so we're going to start. I'll go at this time and ask to approve the agenda for the October 13th, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I assume everyone has read this. Is there any questions or comments on each? Can I get a motion from the second to approve each?
I'll make a motion, Mike Malloy.
Claudette Beck, I'll second.
Mike Malloy is motion, Claudette Beck is second. We'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So E has been approved unanimously. We'll go to F. Approved minutes of the September 22nd, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. So I assume everyone has read this. Are there any questions or discussions on the minutes? If not, can I get a motion and a second? Okay, so Barbara Willebrand moved, and who would check?
John George second.
Okay. So Barbara Willebrand moved, John George second. So we'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So F has been approved unanimously. So now we're on public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes the translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comment will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda item. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone from the public who would like to introduce themselves at this time? And seeing no one is there, we would ask Vanessa if anyone has contacted her.
Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza reporting that no public comments were received via the email provided on the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. So now we're on three, school reports and information. Area superintendent update, Dr. Kasich.
Hi, board. I'd like to provide you a brief update and then hand it off. First off, I would like to let you know that I have accepted a position at Lifelong Learning Administrative Corporation. So I will be moving away from being area superintendent to take on this new role. I will continue to support the virtual charters and San Diego Mission Academy and other virtual types of educational programs in this new role. So while I will no longer be overseeing the schools directly, I will be providing support to them. However, I'm leaving you in great hands with Jenna Eunice, our principal. She is fabulous at online learning and managing teams in schools. And she will be providing your updates today and then for future board meetings as well. So, Jenna, would you like to provide the update for the board?
Hi, yes, thank you, Dr. K. This is Jenna Eunice. I am very happy to be here, the principal in San Diego Mission Academy. So our current enrollment is 161 full-time students, which is an increase of 10 students since our last update. We have 8 students who are within 10 credits of graduation. We actually had a graduate, 2 graduates this week who finished their last credit. So we are tentatively planning a virtual fall ceremony for our graduates on Wednesday, December 9th, 2020 at 7 p.m. We will be sending save the dates and invitations, so and all are welcome to come. We have several October student engagement events, including virtual parenting circles for our pregnant and parenting students through our HOPE program, Myers-Briggs personality and strengths workshop provided by our school counselor, self-care chair yoga, and bi-weekly midday and evening meditation from our school counselor. We have a virtual field trip featuring the Mars rover. And we're also hosting a digital vision board workshop with motivational speaker Jeremy Anderson from Inner Warrior, and that's also courtesy of our school counselor. Thursday night, our community liaison is holding our monthly community call to celebrate student successes, highlight local resources, and make important school announcements. We have implemented twice monthly evening orientations now for new students and parents to explain our program and get them better oriented for success. And this month, actually last week, we participated in the second of 4 professional development workshops to become certified in trauma-informed care. And we will be one of the first schools in Southern California, certainly in the forefront of the nation on that trauma-informed care. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Any questions or discussion from the board? All right. So we'll move into finance update. Jerry Henson.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, there are a few topics that we need to discuss regarding deferrals of the apportionment and cash flow needs and also solutions to both of those. So if the board pleases, I would like to defer to Gita Sharifi to help advise. Gita?
Thank you, Jerry, and hello, board, again. This is Gita Sharifi. I will provide updates on deferral of school apportionment payments and school cash needs and financing, as well as an update on the first interim report and the independent audit. The payment deferral of the school's apportionment will start in February of 2021 and will include deferrals through June of 2021. The deferred payment will take place from July through November of 2021. Based on the most up-to-date information from the California Department of Finance, 35.91% of the annual revenue will be referred, which starts with 53% in the month of February, then 82% of the apportionment for month of March and through May, and 100% for June. We've been notified that the June apportionment will be a recurring event going forward. So the school has looked at several financing options to cover the cash needs during the deferral period. The deferrals are estimated to reach a peak of $440,676 for the school. And the school is obtaining and looking at a variety of options. And the school has been working with Omnibank as well as working with Charter Asset Management, and also looking at financing to government ASAP program. It's a new program offered. However, the fees are listed are very high. So the request is to increase the approved credit currently with Omni from $1 million to $1.3 million. So in November, once we know which financing would best fit for the school, the board will be presented with that option. On the interim report, it's a work in progress right now, and that's due to CDE on December 15, 2020. The interim report will be presented to the board in the month of November. Also, the independent audit for the school is also work in progress through Wilkins & Hanley, King & Company LLC, the CPA advisory firm that are approved the CDE auditors. And the goal is to finish the audit by December 15th. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Eva. That's a lot of work. Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? All right. So we'll move on to C, current vendor list. This is Jerry Benson.
Thank you, board. You've been provided in your board packet a list of the school's current active vendors, naming them and the services they provide. This is for your use and also for transparency for the public if they're interested. And these vendors are all active, although they may not be every month being utilized. They certainly are active vendors. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? All right, so we will move up to update on area superintendent evaluation policy. Jerry Goodson.
Thank you again. The area superintendent evaluation process, a draft has been provided to you. And what we want to do is to get to a place where we have the most clearly articulated expectations of our area superintendent and of our area superintendent's desire to progress professionally. So this is a feedback mechanism. It will be used to enhance our support for the area and the area support for the school. And so in the future, you will be asked to take action, but this is just an information only item at this point. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Any questions or comments from the board? All right. So now we're on E. The board will receive a report on a comparative market study completed by outside legal counsel concerning the fees charged by Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation during business of Sequoia Administration Resources and Scholastic Education Resources. This is Dr. Kasich.
Hi, board. We've requested Greg Bordeaux, outside legal counsel, to perform a comparative market study for educational administrative services received by our school and related to youth paid. I would like to turn it over to Greg Bordeaux to present the study.
Good afternoon, board members. Thank you. As I think I've probably explained to all of you at one time or another before, as a charter school, we wear multiple hats. The education code requires that charter schools be operated by private nonprofit corporations, which, although they are nonprofit, are in fact private corporations. While at the same time, we have certain characteristics of being a public agency or a quasi-public agency. But when wearing both hats, we have certain obligations with respect to the way that we spend our money. And in both cases, we have to always make sure that we spend our money in a way that is reasonable. We can never spend more for something than the value of what we are receiving, whether it be a pencil that costs a dollar that we cannot pay $3 for, or services that are worth a dollar that we pay $3 for. And so since the time when this organization first approved entering into a vendor relationship with FER and SAR, we have continuously taken the opportunity to monitor the marketplace for services provided to charter schools to ensure that the amounts that we're paying in fees to FER and SAR in light of the services we're receiving always remain reasonable. And so consistent with that, we have updated recently our analysis of the marketplace. And in your board packets, I provided to you a written report of that analysis. In order to complete the study, we used a variety of forms of publicly available information, and those really fall within three categories. One of those categories is the materials that are provided by non-seat time charter schools to the state of California, or particularly the CDE, in order to qualify for funding. To get funding, non-seat time charter school programs, as you know, have to explain how they spent prior funding received, and that is what justifies the right to continue receiving funding at certain levels. In reporting that information, charter schools include the amounts that they spend on their larger expenditures, which of course would include the management services such as educational services and administrative services. And that information is publicly available. The second category is the Form 990 informational tax returns that all nonprofit corporations file with the federal government and which report to the government the larger share of expenditures of the organization, which again would typically include administrative and educational services provided to charter schools operated by nonprofit corporations. And those tax returns and the information contained on them are also publicly available. Finally, charter school boards, just like this one, are subject to the Brown Act and therefore meet in the open. And the materials that are provided to the board members for their consideration become part of the quote-unquote public record. And so when charter school boards like this one enter into vendor contracts, such as those for educational and administrative services, those proposed contracts that go before the boards become part of that public record and available for review. So we take that information and we analyze the services that are provided by the different vendors that charter schools use and the fees that those charter schools pay for those services. And I talk about that somewhat in the letter that I provided to the board. I also included a breakdown of the types of services that we receive from SAR and FER, and then also a summary of the types of services that we were able to find were performed by competitors of SAR and SAR out in the marketplace, providing similar types of services to charter schools, and the fees that those other charter schools pay for those services. And in that summary that I provided for you, you can see a very detailed list of the types of services provided and the fees that are paid for them. And the conclusion that is easily drawn from that summary is that the range of services that this organization receives from SER and SAR is more comprehensive than the types of services that are being provided by other vendors to other charter schools, while the fee that we pay is commensurate or very close to the fees that are paid by the other charter schools. What that does is allows me to look at it and conclude and advise you that the fee that we are paying continues to be reasonable and within the realm of what is being paid out in the marketplace, then that indeed we are getting more bang for the buck that we're spending than those other schools. The final comment that I'd make, in addition to the materials already submitted to you all in advance of the board meeting, is that SER and SAR are very in tune with the Learn for Life personalized educational model. And that knowledge and familiarity and participation in the implementation of that educational model means that the services they provide are almost custom tailored. They're heavily integrated into that educational program. And that's an intangible benefit that you wouldn't get if you were out in the marketplace hiring another entity, another vendor that would really provide sort of a one-size-fits-all service platform. As I said, you really can't put a value on that kind of an intangible relationship or aspect of a relationship, but I think when you apply that value add on top of the information that I describe in my letter and that are summarized in the chart that supports it, what you can see is that that not only is the fee we're paying within the realm of what's reasonable, but that the value we are receiving is also in excess of what would be available for the same or similar price out in the marketplace. So with that, I'll pause and see if anybody has any questions or comments that you'd like to discuss.
All right, thank you, Greg. Any comments from the board or questions? All right, that was very comprehensive. So we'll now move on to action items. The board will be asked to approve a temporary line of credit limit increase due to the state apportionment deferral period starting in February 2021. Dr. Casey.
And board, due to the state apportionment deferrals beginning February 2021, we will need to temporarily increase its line of credit with Omni Bank to maintain minimum levels of cash during the deferral apportionment payment. I would like to defer to Gita Sharifi to provide additional details about the deferral and the increase in line of credit.
Thank you, Dr. Kay. Hello, board again. So just want to let the board know that previously the board had approved opening a line of credit with Omni Bank to meet the short-term cash needs. And now after the application process, Omni Bank has formally offered an approved line of credit for the school in the amount of $1 million. However, given the deferrals, the school has been working with Omni Bank to obtain temporary increase in the school's line of credit of $1 million to $1.3 million. So the school is asking the board for approval for that temporary increase during the deferral period. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Gita. Any questions or discussions on A? All right. So can we get a motion and a second that we pass A?
John Dorch, move. Mike Malloy, second.
Okay, so John Dorch moved, Mike Malloy seconded. This is on 4A, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch? John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 4A has passed unanimously. We are now on 4B. The board will be asked to approve the revised San Diego Vision Academy Conflict of Interest Policy. Dr. Kasich.
Hi, board. The school's legal counsel regularly monitors corporate documents to make sure they are up to date as possible and to conform with current legislation and good general practice. Conflict of interest policy has been updated to ensure that its language is consistent with current requirements. As a best practice, we wish to remind the board that if you're ever in a circumstance where you feel as though you may be in a position where there could be a conflict of interest, please disclose. There are many ways to deal with a situation in which
questions or concerns that through inadvertence or simply because of unknown factors that arise over time, it becomes a conflict of interest. And as soon as it's disclosed, it is very easy to deal with and we can avoid any problems. So it's important that you take an opportunity, if you haven't already, to review the conflict of interest policy. If you have any questions about the policy, you can reach out to myself, the officers of the corporation, or legal counsel to answer those questions. Legal counsel is also available today to address any questions that you may have about this policy. Does the board have any questions regarding our conflict of interest policy?
If I might, this is Bill Thompson, Dr. Kessler. Kate did a great job on hitting the main point. I just wanted to point out to the board that one of the advantages of the vendor list we have that Jerry Vincent mentioned and packet, it's a really good tool. You can, it's good for the board members to maybe just go over that list. If you see somebody you recognize, that you recognize, might prompt you to, as Dr. Kaysen said, ask some questions, and the officers or legal counsel can help you decide if that's going to be something we want to take care of. And the only other thing I would add is she's absolutely right. Almost everything can be taken care of as long as we remember to talk about it, disclose.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Any questions or discussion from the board? All right. Can I get a motion and a second for 4B?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
A second, please.
Claudette Beck, second.
Okay. So Mike Malloy has moved. Claudette Beck is seconded. We'll vote Carol Stanford. Aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Mike Malloy.
Aye.
John Dorch.
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand.
Aye.
So 4B has passed unanimously. We're now on 4C. The board will be asked to approve the revised salary ranges for the area superintendent. This is Jerry Vincent.
Thank you, board. The future of our nation is our children. And so we are putting forth for your consideration today the compensation recognition for those who oversee the service to our students. The demands are ever increasing. The engagement factor is ever more challenging. Our students deserve the extra effort, and our area superintendent is going above and beyond always to ensure that his or her staff has what they need to do, that which they need to do. So we've engaged Greg Bordeaux to do a comprehensive compensation analysis to bring to you, the board, for consideration. So if the board pleases, Greg, would you please share your findings?
Of course. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. So this really dovetails well with the conversation we had just a few moments ago about the review of our vendor fees and the importance of those fees being reasonable, because as I said, every dime that we spend, no matter what we spend it on, needs to be reasonable. And that includes the compensation that we pay those who work for us. As indicated, there is before you a proposal to increase the range of base salary for the area superintendent. And in order to ensure that proposed range, should you choose to approve it, is in fact reasonable and within the bounds of what the law requires, we engaged in a similar type of market study to try and ascertain what type of base compensation is paid to superintendents and others occupying similar positions within the broader educational community. Using the most relevant information, we looked primarily at what public school districts are paying their superintendents here in California, as well as other charter schools, and really even beyond nationally, to try and get a very comprehensive sense. Now, it's important to remember that it is very hard to compare apples to apples. There are so many intangible factors that go into what any employer chooses to pay an employee, that it really is not possible to be exact with the comparison that one undertakes. And that's why the word reasonable is so important, because there's a lot of variations within the notion of what's reasonable. But in order to get sort of the most reliable sense for purposes of comparison, I reviewed the compensation paid to superintendents in the school districts throughout the state of California, and as I said, for charter schools as well, and sliced and diced that information in different ways so that I could observe it and evaluate it from very different lenses. So I looked at things like the types of communities that the superintendents are located in, the geographical footprints of the relevant organizations or school districts, the ADA that a particular superintendent would be responsible for in his or her position, and took all this information to try and get a sense of where the ranges would lie. And candidly, what I found was that there isn't a whole lot of rhyme or reason because of those intangible factors. So you can have a school district located in Cardiff, down by San Diego, which the elementary school district there is very small, but the superintendent is paid at the highest end of the range that I saw. And then you could have a much larger school district, a very large school district, located in a more rural community in, say, Northern California, where the superintendent is paid at the lower end of the range that I saw. And, of course, you can try to surmise what those factors are, perhaps the overall affluence of the community, et cetera. But really what you get is a very, very broad range of compensation. The range that currently exists for the area superintendent for this organization, for that position, is $157,500 at the low end to $165,000 at the high end. The proposed new range would be $170,000 at the low end and $187,500 at the high end. Barring the individual factors that would lead to pegging a particular area superintendent somewhere within that range, what I can tell you based on the evaluation of all of the data that we compiled, which was hundreds of school districts and charter schools and other organizations, is that the range of the 170 to 187.5 is within a reasonable range of what these other districts and organizations are paying. And so with that, I think that you're able to conclude that that range is, in fact, reasonable. And with that, I'll pause to see if I can answer any questions or help with any discussion.
Any questions, Board? All right. In that case, can I have a motion and a second to approve C?
Michael,
I'll
second.
I'll second.
Barbara, was that you moving?
Yes.
Okay, and Mike Malloy seconding. So we'll vote Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilbrand?
Aye.
So C has been approved unanimously. We're now down on five additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Ms. Brown. Jeff?
You got me? Hello?
Yeah.
Was I muting after all that great thing I just said? Okay. I'm sorry. I want to thank the board for your patience and understanding and dedication to the program and continue doing it, because we're very proud of you guys. So with that, I will mute myself again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Jerry?
Yes, thank you, board. Thank you, Christine. Best wishes in your new endeavor, Jenna. I know that you've been on board, but welcome to leadership in a higher level. Looking forward to working with you, and thank you to all of the advisors, legal, Adida, all of you. Thank you for all of the work that you do to support us in our work to serve the students. students. All right, any other board members? This is Carol Sanford. I just want to say thank you to Dr. Kasich, and I'm looking forward to working with Jenna. And thank you for everyone that does all the hard work on Vanessa and everyone else. Mr. Brown and Ms. Vincent, thank you so much. Anybody else? All right, can I have a motion to adjourn? I got a cuckoo clock. I don't know who that is. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Deborah, I'll make the motion too.
Barbara Wilbrand second. All right, so Claudette Beck has motioned and Barbara Wilbrand has seconded. We'll vote for adjournment. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilbrand?
Aye.
So we are adjourned. Thank you so much to everyone that's on the line and all your hard work.